When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
And welcome back, everybody. How you guys doing? This is episode 192 of the Rugby Rant. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And we're with you guys today. This is going to be a fun one, Rob.
Yeah, it should be an awesome one. There's a lot of great stuff coming up in the world of rugby right now. Of course, November is the test series window, but there's still a lot of stuff to talk about that's happening here on the home front. And you know what, Scott? We're inching ever closer to episode 200.
We keep talking about it, but we're probably going to hit it in season 6 with the timing of everything. So, and that's just, you know, a dead giveaway. But we are approaching almost 5,000 views on the website. So thank you, everybody, for looking at our articles. I recently just did one talking about how rugby can break through in a NFL crazy world. There's one coming out this morning. That came out at the time of this recording, and Thursday when this show comes out, there's another one. I'm actually talking about the trainers and equipment guys and ladies around rugby and how important they are. We also have Pierce Lobin, who, you know, has been doing some great work. He just put out an article about which way should USAR be looking. Should they really be 100% all in on the anthem style of let's have a quote-unquote USA Eagle team in the MLR versus having some of the talent spread out across the entire league?
It's a great conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a total difference of philosophies, and it'd really be cool to see people weigh in on that commentary, weigh in on that article, and generate a bigger conversation as we draw closer to 2025. And Scott, real quick, who are some of the individuals that are writing for our blog, just to give them a shout out and let folks know who watched the rant, the individuals that are writing for us?
Well, you have two of them in front of you, Rob. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes.
But two of them, and one of them seems to write a lot. I don't know. This guy's pumping out articles like 4 times a week.
He's the equivalent in blog style writing of a rabbit pumping out baby rabbits.
Yeah, but besides me and the Hammer and Pierce Lobin, like we talked about, our boy Rick Collins, the Jackal King, has come out with a bunch of articles, and our other buddy Adam Hughes has come out with quite a few articles. And you know, again, we're trying to talk about everything rugby, not just North American rugby, from youth to club to collegiate to sevens to 15s to whatever somebody wants to talk about. So if you want to get in on this in the rugbyrant.com, become a blog writer, it's pretty simple. Hit us up on social media or email us at rugbyrantpod@gmail.com. We're always looking for writers. And again, pretty much the topics are yours as long as we're not quote unquote crossing streams here with everybody. You know, you can talk about whatever you want. So, you know, join us as part of the team here.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun to watch things grow. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that Scott approached me with this idea of having a blog, and we attempted to do it before. Just for some reason, maybe hearts weren't in it. Maybe it wasn't the right time. Maybe we just hadn't developed enough of a relationship with fans at that point early on in the Rugby Rant that we had a plethora of writers to draw from. But it seems like the right time and the right kind of content that's going out right now. And it's been a lot of fun. It's a secondary voice. And again, it carries forth with our mission by providing an opportunity to get fans engaged with the intent of growing rugby one fan at a time.
Absolutely. And again, check out the Rugby 101 series. We're now in the Rugby 101 position series. The article on hookers just came out this past week. Next week, we'll be talking about locks. The week after that, flankers. Eventually, we'll go all the way to fullbacks. And then we'll start to round out our Rugby 102 articles, which are going to go a little more in-depth on some of those topics that we talked about Rugby 101. Again, we're just trying to broaden people's education. By growing the audience, the rugby audience, one fan at a time, we also have to educate that audience.
Yeah. Can you do me do fans a favor, though, Scott? When you talk about flankers, can you contrast them against wankers? So people know in the rugby world the difference between a flanker and a wanker, because there's some wankers out there. Let's be honest.
Rob. Oh, God. That's going to be Rob's next article. Flanker or wanker? There's going to be pictures.
Here we go. I got an idea.
Oh, man. But before we get into the topic at hand, let's talk about our topics for Around the Pitch.
Thanks. So everybody knows that I talk a lot about local rugby, be it high school or club competition. Well, this weekend, Midwest Rugby Union will have their final. Teams from the final will then be available to be in the competition for the national level competition, which will happen in the spring in April. So just so people are aware, the Midwest Rugby Union will have all of the matches televised on their YouTube channel. So go to Midwest Rugby Union on YouTube and you can see all the matches from field one and field two. And I'll just talk about some of the matches that we're going to see this weekend. And I'll start first at D4. Indy actually rolling like thunder because they have two teams entered in the competition. One at the D4 level, they'll play Lincoln Park's D4 competition for the D4 men's. D3 men's will be Southern Pittsburgh Hooligans or South Pittsburgh Hooligans versus Red River, a perennial powerhouse that shows up every year in the Midwest Final. Then D2 women is Rochester versus Grand Rapids, very tough squad with Grand Rapids. The D2 men's, my home, Chicago Blaze, Go Blaze are playing Indy Impala's D2 team. So again, Indy looking very strong, minus Will Maggie this year. He was a shining star in last year's Midwest Final, carried them through to the next level. D1 Premier Women, Columbus Women versus the Metro Valkyries, again, another powerhouse team. And D1 Men will feature the Chicago Lions versus the Chicago Griffins. It's kind of like if the Cubs and the Sox played in the World Series. This is next level competition here, a ultra grudge match. These two teams don't like each other. And speaking of next level rugby will be producing this. And yours truly will be part of the commentary team for that match. So I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. A lot of good stuff happened at Pete Thornley Fields in Lamont, Illinois, the home of the Chicago Blaze Rugby Club.
That's great. Ryan Ginty producing it. Yeah. It's going to be nice. You're going to have Hammer on the horn there, doing what the Hammer does best. You know, it's good to see. We're really glad that we can still be part of the rugby community at a local level. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's great. And, you know, tune in to try and see your boy Rob, the Hammer Hammerschmidt. So my thing, let's talk a little bit more about local rugby. So let's see now. A week ago, I got invited by SUNY New Paltz, State University of New York, New Paltz campus, to their playoff match. They were in the first round of playoffs against Montclair State from down in Jersey. That's the Tri-State Rugby Conference. And unfortunately, the score was a little lopsided with Montclair State taking away a victory and moving on into the bracket. But what I want to talk about is the official that officiated the match in the middle, obviously by himself in these collegiate matches. Pure professionalism, pure communication. Things got very heated at certain points. He took no crap from anybody. There was multiple people sent off for saying things they shouldn't say. Credit to the official and the two captains of both teams, specifically the captain of Montclair State. He was really getting on his guys. And every time the official asked him to speak to his guys, he was professional and did the right thing with the official. He was never heated except for that last time. I got to be honest. I would have broken by time 8. The referee had to have, this was the 15th time. He's like, you got to talk to your guys. And finally he said, I've been talking to him. And he was, because he was that vocal that we could hear him in the crowd, telling his guys what they should and shouldn't do. And it was great on the official to set the bar so high, in my opinion, by sending these guys off when they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, not taking any crap, and putting it back on the team leaders, the captains, to deal with their players. You know, and this is something I feel like sometimes you see it every so often on the professional game, and I feel like you need to see it a little more, especially with some of the back chat we've been seeing recently in the professional game. You know, just shut the fuck up and play. And the officials really should be monitoring out in this. And unfortunately, I completely are blanking on this gentleman's name, so I apologize for not having that available. But it was a great match. Thank you, SUNY New Paltz, for having me out. You know, shout out to my buddy Robbie, who's the reserve hooker over there, got a bunch of playing minutes. And they have a consolation match coming up this Sunday against whom I don't remember, to see if they can win fifth place of the week. So, you know, local, baby. Rob, what's your second one there?
Oh, well, I want to throw out a celebratory congratulations to one Mr. Cam Dolan and Mrs. Ellen Heimel Dolan on their nuptials taken on November 1st. So just happened. Cam got married to Ellen. They're a beautiful couple. And I tell you what, Cam was absolutely savage as he entered the camera space when he slid in to take that garter off of Ellen's leg. If you haven't seen it, check out his Instagram page, because it's all there for people to witness firsthand. Just absolutely savage. And I apologize, Cam and Ellen. You know, I had to hand out candy the night before, so I had to send my regrets. Because, you know, the kids in town count on me to give them all kinds of nasty teeth and dental problems. So I could not make it as much as I wanted to. But, you know, I'm there for you in spirit, folks.
That's great. Congratulations to the newly Mr. and Mrs. Dolan there. Always fun. I had my toolbox with me when I went in to get that garter, because, you know, I need that that 10 millimeter socket, baby. The one you always lose.
Sure,
I had a couple 10 millimeters
on me. You actually had it on hand. It wasn't missing. Yeah. Cause that's, you know,
I always have a 10. You know, it's funny, cause that's the joke, is it's always missing. But you know, my history with cars, specifically with my family, we were into a lot of British cars and Honda motorcycles, and exclusively you need a 10 millimeter for a lot of those things. So we would have many on hand.
You can take food off my plate. You can take my woman, but I'll be damned if you're going to take my 10 mil.
Seriously. So actually, to go back, I'll consider this local, because he's a local kid to me. Our buddy Robin Hrmescu was named to the extended squad ahead of the Romania's test matches against Tonga, Canada, and Uruguay. Rob having 12 caps there, fitting right in with the hookers. They got 4 hookers on the squad, 16 caps, 3 caps, 13 caps, and Rob at 12 caps. So I have to be honest, I'm sure he's going to get playing time in the next 4 matches. You know, see him probably, you know, he probably even gets a start against Rugby Canada, in my opinion, in their 3 matches. I think he's local because he's a Brooklyn guy. So, you know, that's relatively local for me. That's kind of what we'll take.
Yeah, I love Rob. It was great to see him play live in July, and I look forward to him to accumulating more caps as he progresses through his international career. Good on you, mate.
Absolutely. So we changed the format. I'll say the Hammer changed the format last week with our boy Cully and doing kind of 5 mini topics, and I think we're going to do that again this week. I really liked it when I watched the show. So before we get into it, let's hit the intro. So we had wished Perry Baker fair winds and following seas about his announcement on retiring, and then he was, if you see the graphic here, he has talked about maybe playing 15s, considering pursuing the MLR in the future. He wants to be, you know, coach the national level, which, you know, makes sense to me. You know, he should be put in that pipeline. I think, you know, that's a guy that you put under a guy like David Fee for a little bit, so he gets to know the young kids, and eventually, you know, maybe they can grow together into that, you know, that USA, you know, Eagles sevens top spot at some point. But we're here to talk about his foray into MLR in the future, if he's looking to do that, Rob. Here's the thing, though. You're allowed to hang up the boots when you hang them up. But Perry was only seven tries away from 300. And, I mean, I think he scored 25 tries last year. So he needed seven. So you figure he'd probably score 15 if he slowed down a little bit. Maybe he didn't play all the matches. But I just feel like there's a little bit of meat left on that bone to get some 300, to get me some 300 there. I mean, again, you know, it's a personal choice, and whatever his reasons were are 100% valid. But I just feel like there's still some meat on that bone, Rob. We need that 300.
It's kind of like what they do with hockey players, you know, where like there's an absolute star of a hockey player that went away from the franchise and they bring him back on a one-day contract. Maybe they should bring Bakes back on like a one or two tournament contract just to get to that 300, get those seven tries to add to his career total.
Come back for the Canada series. Come back for Canada. Come back for US in LA, you know, because in that way you're not doing the rigorous travel. You know what I mean? Right. So maybe, you know, that's a thing. But let's talk about 15s and MLR and Perry Baker.
Yeah, I'm not seeing this. I'm just not. To be honest with you, I think he tips his hand and that he's pretty comfortable in the sevens world, especially moving into the coaching realm, right? I think that he's been doing a bit of work there with U23s and with the current squad. I have it on pretty good authority that he is much needed in Chula Vista right now as in that coaching role or assistant coaching role. And quite frankly, we know that there's a totally different skill set that's required if you put him at wing or fullback in the 15s game. Kicking, I think that you know, he depends very much on that, those big gaps and those open or space, which you just don't have in 15s. You need that kicking game, and I'm not sure that he has it. So I just don't know that the MLR is his trick bag. That's not to take away from who he is as a player. He is one of the greatest, you know, USA players, especially in the sevens world that we've known. But I just don't see him in the 15s market. That's not his game. That's not where he excels.
I mean, and if he were to go 15s, I would put him at centers. I would put him at one of the centers. And the thing is, I think his frame is a little too light. And does he really want to put on some weight for the wear and tear of playing that ball crashing center? Because let's be honest, you know, the wing, I do think he needs to have a little more foot action on the wing. And if you don't, you need to be a guy like Ed Fidal and have that frame. And again, Perry's very athletic, but he doesn't have the hulking frame. So it's tough if you can't kick and do that. Like, you put Nate Osberger on a wing, even though his frame is small, he can give the boot and kind of, now you have to respect that. You can't just crash on him, right? Right. But Perry, unknown his you know, his footy, probably not as good as it needs to be to play that position. So you have to put him at center. And again, frame-wise, does he want to put on the weight to, quote-unquote, be a little more safe when taking some of that punishment, you know, crashing the ball, right? I mean...
Yeah, I agree. You know, Nate's different. He's built different. Yes, he's shorter, but he's also built like a fire plug. So, you know, he's much more durable. So, yeah, I think we agree that neither one of us really see Perry entering into the MLR.
And you know, and he's 38. He's going to come in. You know, do you want to take a year off? You're coaching. You're doing this. So, realistically, MLR 2026, let's be honest. I don't think if you were to do it, I think he's going to enjoy retirement a little bit before he goes back. That was the whole point, the rigorous schedule, you know. So then you're 40-ish. Do you really want to go back? And again, you know, you'll have to gain some weight to make sure you can kind of
take the abuse
factor there. So speaking of other people in 15s, we're going to talk about our girl, Alona Maher, who killing it right now in Dancing with the Stars. She was just at the New York City Marathon on the bullhorn during the Maybelline Mile, complimenting all the runners as they were running. But this is a question, and my wife was very intrigued by it. You know, Alona Maher, you know she's single. Everybody knows she's single. She makes it publicly known. She also makes it publicly known that while she's enjoying getting a lot of DMs from, like, wives and mothers and women athletes and young, you know, youth rugby girls that are aspiring to do what she does and all that, she hasn't been getting all the millionaires and NFL prospects in her DMs. So what we're going to talk about real quick is, should she be the next Bachelorette? And my wife says absolutely. Now, I've watched exactly two episodes of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. No, it had to be The Bachelorette, because in both of those episodes, they actually played rugby. Yes. And it was the most annoying thing I've ever watched, because, like, yes, three or four guys, one guy played, and of course, yep, you know, he was English, and of course, you know, every English person who's ever played was a 9 or a fucking 10. Meanwhile, this guy was like 400 pounds soaking wet, so I don't know how he played 9 or 10, maybe when he was younger. But of course, you had three guys who didn't want to participate because they don't like to get hit. Then you had three guys who played football and didn't know how to do a step to get around anybody. And I'm just sitting there yelling at the screen because they all sucked both times. But our girl, I think, would make a really good contestant on The Bachelorette. And I think, again, with all the fire that she has right now and she has a lot of juice going into it, I think it's just a good transition, to be quite honest. But the question would be then, Rob, is how is she going to do her 15s career? Because she has already talked about, you know, either joining PWR or EWR. And then because she wants to go and try out for the team in 2025, excuse me, going to the Rugby World Cup. And unlike, I would say, Alev Kelter, because Alev swings from 15 to 7 so much, and she, you know, does PWR consistently for the past 4 years now, I think, she's been contracted. You know, Alona really has to make the squad on 15s versus Alev, who's probably solidified her position already. So Does it fit into the rugby calendar is the question we always ask, Alona being on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, and that's a great question, because I admission time, I probably watched too many episodes of The Bachelor and Bachelorette because it's kind of like a date night for my wife and I, an opportunity for us to spend time together. I've also seen the rugby broadcast episodes, and like you, I'm also very unimpressed. I kind of wish I could go back and just be a contestant, not for the purposes of trying to marry the girl,
right?
But just so I could get in the rugby episode and bust on some dudes. So at any rate, look, Alona's got to do what's right for her, and like you said, she's got a lot of juice going on right now. Quite frankly, I think there are a lot of opportunities for her commercially. Like you said, she's got the Maybelline thing going on and that connection. So, you know, here's an opportunity for her to capitalize. If she goes on the show and becomes the next contestant, what we're seeing is that kind of overlap where some of those bachelors and bachelorettes are actually on some major campaign commercials for significant brands like that. So she could maximize her earning potential right now with iron, right? Maybe take that year off, start training for 15s and come back. Yes, she would probably miss the Rugby World Cup window, because let's be honest, she would have to play this spring in order to have an opportunity to make the team, and they're going to be probably taping the show next summer. So she'll have to make that choice. That being said, if she played in the WER, she might be able to do both, because she would be here domestically. She could probably maximize some of that earning potential with those commercial opportunities. And she might be that perfect kind of like pipeline to where some of those major feminine brands like a Maybelline or some of the other feminine products would want to invest in Alona, and invest in the WER as a professional organization, And that might allow her the vehicle to do exactly what she wants.
Well, and also think that I think that all depends on how many Americans are coming over to play WER, because, you know, depending on the windows and the schedules and things like that, right now I feel the more competitive rugby is PWR, and that's where she needs to be, in my opinion, to stay up to snuff if she wants to make the team. Because if you look at the team that when they bring out the extended roster, you're going to look at a lot of those names, and a lot of them are going to have PWR teams next to them.
You're right.
So, like, I think, but commercial, when they talk about commercially, I think PWR gives brands flexibility that normally wouldn't go into rugby as a thing, because PWR is a little more international, because you have a bunch, you have a conglomerate of women coming and playing there.
So let me ask you this, and we talked about juice earlier. Mm-hmm. Would she have as much juice? And I know she has 4 million followers, and they're not all from the United States. I get that. But does she have as much juice in the PWR as she would have staying here domestically, being on The Bachelorette, being in WER? You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, some of the more domestic players, English players, Welsh players, Irish players who are playing in the PWR might carry a bit more juice than her in a UK-based league.
I don't think so, because if you look at where she was making her bones, it was the Olympics, right? And that wasn't just American fans. There's a lot of international fans that are following her and seeing what she's doing. You know, we harp on the American fans because that's how we want to grow the fan base here, obviously. But I think, you know, if you look at where her competition is, it's HSBC Sevens, you know, international tournament, Olympics, world tournament, you know. So I think she has a little more crossover. And again, you know, while the prospects of her going on The Bachelorette would throw her, you know, give her more of her stardom, you know, what does that do for her rugby career when she wants to be on the 15s team for the World Cup? And let's be honest, that's her bread and butter. I don't think that's something she's going to want to lose. I think maybe the PWR has a little more commercial appeal for what some of these companies are looking to do right now versus WER, which, you know, hasn't started yet, and they're still figuring out who's qualifying for teams, and they just announced coaches. But, you know, it dribs and drabs, it's coming out, and that's great, and eventually we'll get there. But because PWR already has that standard set, in my mind, that's where she should be going. One, commercially. Two, want to play the best competition, iron sharpens iron, and I think that's the way, that's how she makes the team. You know what I mean?
So just so I understand, so what you're saying is she needs to go to the rugby side, commit to the rugby side, and put, you know, the Bachelorette on the back burner and for the rugby career, and not worry about the whole stardom and Hollywood and all that stuff.
Yeah, because think about it. We have a Rugby World Cup coming in 2025. Then, you know, she's on the team. Then she's back on the seventh circuit after that, because, you know, I don't think she's going to stick with 15s past the World Cup. You know, she'll be back on the seventh circuit. And again, the seventh circuit for has that commercial viability. It has that outreach. You know, I think the World Cup, while it's not the Olympics, people are going to be intrigued by it because Alona is part of it. And they'll see some names like Lev Kelter and stuff like that are crossovers, you know. So let's be, you know, because what's more likely, Alona playing the next 5 years in HSBC Sevens, which includes, you know, an LA Olympics, or stopping her rugby career to go on The Bachelorette and then trying to re-enter the rugby arena?
And I think you make some valid points. I guess at the end of the day, I would almost, if I was going to advise her, which again, she needs to do what she thinks is best for her. But if I was advising her, I might advise her to do Bachelorette, maximize her stardom, and pick up play in the HBC Sevens, and you know, look to the LA games and stick with the Sevens game and maximize her potential going in, you know, earning potential going to those games.
I hear you. So talking about earnings potential, this damn chestnut rears its ugly head every fucking year, in my opinion. So according to news reports out of a South Africa The rapport, or the rapport claims leading rugby agents have started signing lucrative deals for star players to compete in an innovative new tournament in the USA, which will offer starting salaries of $900,000, which is more than, you know, the NOLA Gold, team salary combined based upon the rules we have in the MLR. And this seems to me like it's the same guys who are going to do the National Rugby League who said we're going to do this and do that. And then I think those guys moved over to do that sevens tournament that never happened because a volcano fucked something up in Reykjavik. Mm-hmm. Somehow it affected New York that they couldn't do a rugby match or, you know, a day of sevens at Red Bull Arena. Don't know how those two, you know, Reykjavik and Iceland, fucking Red Bull Arena in New Jersey. I don't know. It's just, you know. But I just, again, we've talked about this time and time again. Bringing in international rugby stars to play rugby in the United States is good on certain levels. But does it truly grow the rugby audience for new rugby fans, which is what we have? We will always capture the attention of the old heads, right? You throw in a McAtoe in the MLR. You throw in a Ben Foden. A Matthew Bastro, Chris Robshaw, you know, Ma Nanu, you know, and that's great. And that's great. And it was cool to meet those guys. It's cool. It's fucking cool. Right. But that didn't push my father, who's not necessarily into rugby. He's only into rugby because I'm into it, to then invest more into what he watches in rugby. Right. So that's the first thing. It doesn't build an audience. So what audience are you looking to build? Are you trying to steal it from the MLR? Well, you know, again, this is rumor, conjecture, whatever you want to call it based upon this social media post. But we want to talk about it because we have questions like, where does it fit in the rugby schedule? Because you're going to do it in the fall and compete with college football and NFL and NHL and MLB playoffs and NBA and college basketball. Are you going to do it running concurrent with the MLR season? So you're competing the MLR for the rugby space. You're competing with any type of WER, PWR going on in the spring, HSBC 7 stops in the spring. Are you doing it in the summer during international test windows? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I'm really, really dubious of anything that pushes a huge, big idea. And $900,000 salaries are a huge, big idea because, let's face it, we've seen rugby salaries across the board, across domestic leagues in Europe, everywhere, drop. Right? We've seen the salaries are going down and the opportunities for contracts are dropping. Why on earth would we expect that the inverse be true, especially in the United States, where there's still yet to be a significant commercial appetite for rugby? And so I'm just super dubious because you see this rear its ugly head, as you said, every once in a while. Somebody has this big idea, but what kind of substance was in that article? Nothing.
I haven't found the article. Did you find it?
No. And it's in Afrikaans, by the way.
Okay. That helps. That
the Rapport is an Afrikaans language newspaper. And I'm not taking anything away from it. It's been around since 1970.
We had a guy that spoke it, and then he left the show. Ty, thanks.
So I'm just rather dubious. It was short on substance. And, you know, I just don't see it happening.
You know, like, so they're signing all these South Africans to play, but we still keep seeing South Africans signing contracts for Rooney. So, like, what do we...
For Rooney?
I mean, excuse me, for MLR teams. Sorry, I'm looking at an old Rooney Instagram post because I'm looking for a specific picture that I want to post here now that we're talking about things that rear its ugly head all the time. But, so they're still signing for MLR teams. How come they're not signing for this other crazy league?
Right. And wouldn't we hear, you know, of significant names like Malcolm Marx and Sia Khaleesi, you know, Eben Etzebeth and DeLuger and, you know, all these others, we would hear more juice out of the South African camp if any of this had any reasonable viability whatsoever.
That's what I thought. And you're signing guys for contracts of $900,000 times 23, really 30, because that's how many you need for a team. How many teams are going to be in there, right? Where the fuck are you going to be playing? Is it, you know, all I ever hear about is there's never, you can, if I have to hear one more international fan talk about how the USA couldn't even be holding test matches because of the, in the football stadiums, because of the fucking field. You know what? Those are all the people who poo-poo that are scared because they realize that, the, you know, if the US ever actually catches on, it might be something, you know what I mean? And yeah, it's just, but to that point, where is it going to be played? How much are tickets going to cost? Because we've already seen people complain about $25 tickets at MLR stadiums to me, which is ridiculous. People complain that the beers are too expensive. People are complaining all the time about this, and I don't see how this is going to work at all, Rob. At all.
I think we agree on that one.
But let's just say it does. Right. Let's just say, for whatever reason, you know, this comes to fruition finally.
Okay.
Is it going to be geographical teams? Is it going to be like what? Like, I don't even know what kind of teams they're going to do. Is it going to be like pseudo geographical teams, like PR7s or PLL, where they're like, okay, you know, the Loonies are the Midwest and, you know, the Loggerheads are the Pacific Northwest. Like, are these teams going to have any real connection to wherever they are, they're quote unquote geographically are? And how does one do that if they're signing all these international players? Because they're not signing the Americans.
Right now, the MLR, we're seeing a lot of foreign signings happening amongst the MLR teams, right? I mean, here in Chicago, there's been a number of ex-Premier League players that are signing for the Hounds.
Yeah.
So we're in late 2024. Here we are in November 2024, and they're signing for 2025. Mm-hmm. In order for this to actually be reality in 2026, we would have to see the contracts be signed by a year from now. We'd have to see visas coming across to make sure that those contracts would actually be able to have weight behind the signings, if you get what I'm saying. In other words, you have to know the visas are approved in order to sign them so that they can actually play. Well, they don't even have stadiums yet. They don't even have any infrastructure yet. They haven't announced any teams. How the hell can they expect to have any signings to get visas going a year from now when none of the infrastructure for this exists? This is simply a pipe dream that was, I don't know. It sounds a little bit like a wet dream to me.
Well, okay, let's continue. I need to continue to talk about this, because if I don't, I'll be pissed off. But like, so okay, so you have that, right? Well, again, how many of these players are American? None. So right there, the audience, not what you're looking. Not how is that gonna? You know what I mean, how is that gonna work? Like, it doesn't make sense to me that.
Well, and Scott, let's not forget, you know, when we talk about players, remember that there are unions out there where players actually have to be in, you know, playing domestically in that
year
in order for them to be selected to a national side. Now, what kind of players are you gonna pay $900,000 for to play in a league in the United States who are not of the caliber of the premier international players for their country?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Well, that's the one thing I think is going to have to change internationally is these teams are going to have to let these guys play.
Well, South Africa's done that, but England hasn't.
England hasn't. Ireland hasn't.
Scotland hasn't.
But they're going to start to have to, as these leagues are popping up and how, you know, Japan is popping off, and you have guys coming from New Zealand over to Japan and doing all this stuff. But, you know, I think the, again, rumor, conjecture, whatever, how are you going to make money off of this?
Yeah, well, I know. It's just not, they're not going to see black.
I mean, yeah, so, I mean, cool.
You know, in terms of finance.
Okay, and then what kind of officiating are they going to get? How do they run that through USAR?
Right. And we know USAR and the MLR are fairly closely aligned right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that the MLR would be happy if the USAR would provide officials to officiate any of those matches.
You know, so now you're going to World Rugby to fight over it, and it becomes a whole thing. But just remember, you know, rumor is rumor. This rumor has been around as old as time, but this rumor has been around as old as time too, that Dan Carter was going to play in the MLR. Am I wrong that they talked about Dan Carter coming to the MLR for a long time?
That rumor had about as much juice as this one does. So, you know, we knew that, well, that wasn't going to happen.
Correct. But if he did come, he would have played for Rooney, because you see my headshot there. Shout out, I forgot who did this graphic for me, but I posted that during 2020 and people went crazy. It's fun to start rumors. It's fun to start rumors. So, speaking of something that's not a rumor, I wouldn't say it's a rumor. It's not a rumor, but it's not official yet. They're talking about the British and Irish Lions coming in and playing some series in Las Vegas, Japan. You know, they're talking about going on tour. I think they said the last time the British and Irish Lions played Argentina was in 1936, and that would be a nice match if they're going to come and tour this side of the hemisphere.
So, you know? Yeah, so from what I understand, they're talking about doing this in 2029. And mm-hmm. I think the approach, and this is where logistically it makes much more sense to that last bit of nonsense that we were talking about, because the British and Irish Lions will go to New Zealand in 2029. That's their kind of rotation, mm-hmm. right? Well, what a great opportunity to kind of have a stopping point. New Zealand did this when they played, they did this several years ago when they did the Northern Hemisphere Tour in November. Mm-hmm. They stopped in the United States. They played the United States, and then they went on to play in England and Ireland, et cetera. So it's a nice stopping point on the way over. And I think Vegas would do that. They've also talked about LA and Japan, but Las Vegas has that juice because it's not just about the rugby. Then you're engaging a whole entertainment capital. And let's not forget that the New Zealand Rugby League or Rugby League did this last year. Yeah. And they had two games in Las Vegas, and it was fairly successful. I think there were a lot of expats and a lot of folks that are fans of rugby league that came in for that one. So this one makes a lot more sense.
You have to remember, you know, the Lions is a touring side. Yep. They're specifically, you know, they're not there to try and jump up in the rankings. You know, it actually is about having fun at these matches and traveling to watch them play. Same thing with the Barbarians, right? I've always wanted the Barbarians to come in here and play. And it's in my opinion, because of the way that's set up, right? It's not in a test window, you know, like it's not a test match, quote unquote, although it really is, because you have these players of a certain caliber. It's built to have people travel to watch them play. So even if you don't like me, I'm a Baba guy over a Lions guy. I know you're a Lions guy. Yeah. I would be more inclined if the Babas came over and playing the Vegas to go watch the Babas. And I'll take a look if they're there, if the Lions are there. But it's not a must do for me, right? So my point being is, even if you don't get the American audience, you will get the expat audience 100%. To come. You will get the guys coming from the UK to watch. And if they play Argentina, you will get Argentina fans to travel, because you know Argentina fans travel. You know, yep. they when Argentina plays, the Argentinian fans travel. So I think it's a win-win commercially. And then they started talking about maybe playing Japan in Japan, which, again, you have a lot of UK expats in Japan. People from the UK will travel to Japan. They traveled for the World Cup to go see the British and Irish Lions. And then the Japanese fans always show out. So I think even if you just did it you know, and maybe had a USA Canada match beforehand, you know, mm-hmm. as a prep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's something I think that you could put together and have a lot of commercial success in doing that.
See, and here you go. Let me throw this at you. Mm-hmm. What I thought about, right? Because I don't know that Argentina was necessarily mentioned as an opponent. I don't even know that they talked about an opponent for that match. Again, you know, they're going on tour to New Zealand, so they're going to play the three tests against New Zealand. What a better way to get a warm-up game in than to play the Babas in Vegas. So you kill two birds with one stone. You have a fun touring side like the Babas, play the British and Irish Lions. You generate some interest in the international game 2 years prior to the Rugby World Cup right here on our shores in the United States. And you play, I don't forgot the name of the stadium in Vegas. You probably know it offhand, but it's a brand new stadium. It's a state-of-the-art. What a better way to sell folks on the fact that the United States and NFL stadiums can host international rugby than something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see when the last time they played the Barbarians was, and I think it was 2013. Mm.
And they might have played in Twickenham, if I'm not mistaken.
Hold on.
Before Lions matches.
They played the Barbarians and Twickers in 1977. You would remember that one.
Son of a bitch.
Barbarians.
I thought they'd done it. I thought they'd done it sooner, but I could be wrong. 1977. Jackass.
Hold on. Hold on. What was this one? It might have been. The last one was 2017, but they haven't. I don't think they've played it in a little bit, so that would be nice. But then, the question is, do you want them to play each other, or do you want to say, "Hey, Barbarians play"?
I would have them play each other, because then you could draw folks from the you're going to draw traveling
France, folks from the UK, South Africa,
and Italy. Some Kiwis come to the United States for that week or 2 weeks prior to, come to Vegas, have a good time in Vegas, et cetera, then go back and check out the British Irish Lions in the test series against New Zealand. And you pit the United States against another side, like an Italy or a Japan or another side that you might be able to really drum up a lot of juice, a lot of interest from some other, well-traveling international audience.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of international audience, we're going to do our next topic rather quickly, which is we're going to pick what we feel is the best international test match going on. So we don't have any women's internationals this weekend. Actually, in about 27 minutes, UAE versus Zimbabwe kicks off. Interesting. Yep. Friday, you have, Bristol Bears versus the Australian 15s in the UK is interesting to me. Ireland versus New Zealand. That kicks off 3 p.m. Yeah, Friday at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then let's go into Saturday matches. Let's see. What do we have? We have Hong Kong versus Brazil, Canada versus Chile, Spain versus Uruguay, Romania versus Tonga, Portugal versus the Eagles. Obviously, that's 11 a.m. My time, 10 a.m. your time. 11 p.m. rather. I forgot they're in the UK. Is it 11? No, it's 11 our time. Yeah, it's afternoon there. Yeah, so that works. So it's 11 my time, 10 your time. And then we also have England versus Australia on Saturday, Italy versus Argentina, France versus Japan. Then Sunday we round out with Georgia versus an All Blacks 15 squad, mm-hmm. Wales versus Fiji, Scotland versus South Africa, and I did miss a couple. Give me 1 second. We also on Saturday have Kenya versus Uganda, Ukraine versus Slovakia, and Czechia versus Croatia. So, Rob, out of all the stuff we talked about here, which one do you want? Which one do you think is the most interesting?
Boy, which one am I going to watch? Oh, I'll watch Ireland and New Zealand and USA versus Portugal. Which one's interesting to me? I mean, the most compelling is Ireland versus New Zealand, but which one's the most interesting? For me, it's U.S. versus Portugal. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Ireland, New Zealand won't be an absolute slobber knocker, because it will. It's going to be a great match. I think it's number one versus number two, right? But the reason why USA versus Portugal is the most interesting to me is because we know Portugal kind of really showed up against the United States last time out about a year and some odd change ago. And the question is can the U.S. Redeem themselves, beat Portugal, and move up in the rankings? What team is going to show up? Because we know that the United States is playing a better defensive game than they were a year and, you know, several months ago. We know that they're trying to hone in on their identifiable, like, playing style. I'm really interested in, and I want to see what their attack game looks like. They need to be much more dynamic in their attack. There are a lot of questions that I have that I'm engaged and interested in seeing the answers to. I talked about those last week in the rant with John Cullen, and I'm interested in seeing how they play out, because I think this might be one of the tough. I mean, they've got two tough ones here, and this is one of the two tough ones, and I'd like to see them redeem themselves.
You know, and I would, just to be contrarian, I want to pick a different match. I'm going to say Argentina versus Italy in Italy. Because I think this is going to see how well Argentina travels, is how Italy's going to do, you know, going to look, you know, when we come around and talk about how Argentina has the longest winning streak, 8 in a row. They've beat Italy 8 times since starting November 15th of 2008. The series, 23 overall matches, Argentina is up 17-5. There's one draw in there. They've played more matches in Italy than they have in Argentina. But all the neutral, it's funny, the neutral venue one matches, one win by Argentina, one win by Italy, one draw, and the points for Argentina 68, points for Italy 65. So it's interesting, when they play a neutral venue, it could go either way. But I do think this is going to be a test for Italy to see where they are. You know, we always talk about, you know, the wooden spoon for them in Six Nations, and you got to put Georgia in there instead of Italy. And they came and they made some noise the past couple of years. So I think this is a good test for them.
I think they will be taking on an Argentina that is playing very, very well right now, coming out of that Southern Hemisphere competition just about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Italy to keep it close. I truly believe that Argentina, I expect them to put up a 20 over over Italy in this match. They're just playing so well right now.
Yeah, I just wonder how the time zone swaps are going to affect them. You know, crossing time zones is tough sometimes. But also, interestingly enough, that essentially Australia B squad is going to be playing English B squad in 2 weeks. I think that's going to be an interesting match too in 2 weeks. But anyway, those are five mini topics done and dusted, Rob. I like this format. I think we could do this format in the future. I don't think it's going to be for every show, but
no.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I like it. It's kind of like one of those things. This is the perfect window to do it, right? Because you have the MLR isn't in full swing, so you don't have, you know, the major, you know, compelling issues that drive most of our viewers. You have a lot of littles, a lot of smalls, if you will, that matter to rugby folks. And so I think it speaks to this time period pretty well. But it is fun to have a little change of pace, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So, guys, these five topics are done and dusted. Again, if you're looking, if you want to write, if you want to express your opinion about rugby, contact us. We'd love to have you on the show. We'd love to have you write for the blog. You know, this is what we do. We love what we do. I know Rob kind of gave a little programming note last week, so I'll reiterate, probably around, you know, the week before Thanksgiving will be our last show before we go on hiatus at the end of season 5 and restart season 6 in the new year. We might have some emergency episodes in between that, or some RPKs, depending on what's going on. You know, if Kitmas shows up randomly, you'll see us up here talking about the kits for MLR. Or the schedule, or whatever is going to drop. So, you know, appreciate you guys watching. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. And we will see you at the next. All right.
So
when we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.